You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and we're exploring unseen worlds today. And now we're going to hear from a writer who stumbled upon a bit of uncharted territory in science history, a microcosm of women working at NASA starting in the 1940s. They were female mathematicians who helped facilitate some of our greatest triumphs in outer space. Nathalia Holt's new book is called Rise of the Rocket Girls, The Women Who Propelled Us from Missiles to the Moon to Mars. I asked her how she discovered this story.
Well, I came across it in a really unusual way. In 2010, my husband and I were expecting a baby, and we were having a really difficult time coming up with names. We would make these long lists of names, and nothing seemed right. And then finally, my husband suggested Eleanor Francis. And I wasn't sure, and so I did what parents do these days, and I Googled the name. And what popped up was a woman named Eleanor Frances Helene. And there was this beautiful picture of her. It's black and white, and it's taken in the 1960s at NASA where she's accepting an award. And I was just stunned by this picture because I had no idea that women worked at NASA at that time, much less as scientists. So I really wanted to learn more. And what I found is that she wasn't alone. There's actually this large group of women who all worked starting in the 1940s at a place called the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California.
And what did you find out? What did they actually do at NASA?
So they started out as computers, and this is a weird term. So in those days, a computer actually meant a person who computes. Before all of the digital devices we have today, laboratories would hire computers to do all their calculations for them. And so this group started at JPL doing all of the calculations for early missiles, and it became all women because of one woman whose name was Macy Roberts. And she was made supervisor of the computing section in 1942. And she decided that she was going to hire only women. And her thinking here was that she wanted to create a really cohesive group. She wanted it to feel like a family. And she worried that if she hired men, they just wouldn't get along. They wouldn't listen to her because she was a woman. And so it's because of her then that you have this really strong group of women who are all working at JPL.
And how did these women find out about this opening in the job market? I'm sure a lot of women during that time assumed that those kinds of jobs were closed off to them.
Yeah, so they found about it in many different ways, but the lab did put out advertisements saying computers wanted. And so one of these women actually is named Jenez Lawson. She was the first African-American hired in a technical position at the lab. And she had a degree, a bachelor's degree in chemical engineering from UCLA. So today she would just be hired as an engineer. But back then she knew that she wouldn't be hired as an engineer because of her gender, because of her race. And so when she saw an advertisement at her school job board for a computer, she knew that this was kind of a way for her to sneak into the engineering world and to still be part of what was happening in aeronautical engineering.
Describe for me the contributions these women made. What was their actual work and how was it used to eventually get us to the moon?
Their contributions span quite a period of time. They started out by doing all of the calculations by hand using paper and pencil. And these calculations informed our early missiles. They informed the first rockets. They were in the control room during key moments in space history. So they were there during the first American satellite. They were there during our early moon missions, during our early missions to Venus and Mars. And then later on, they did become engineers. And they ended up tracking the trajectory of the Voyagers as they went through the solar system, and one of them, of course, has left the solar system. And they've worked on Mars rovers, just an incredible range of missions. There's hardly a NASA mission you can think of that they have not been part of.
How is NASA looking today in terms of gender balance?
So it's good and bad. What we see is that this year, 2016, is actually the first year we have an astronaut class that is half female. And this is an amazing accomplishment. But on the other side, the number of women employed as engineers at NASA hasn't increased at quite the same pace. So we see that only 23% of engineers are women at NASA. And this is a place we really need to improve upon. It actually goes with the trend of women pursuing technology in the United States. So we're seeing a drop in the number of women getting degrees in computer science. And, you know, my hope through this book is that we can encourage more women to be pursuing technology.
And what did you end up naming your daughter?
Her name is Eleanor Francis. And, you know, it's funny because she shares her name with a woman who unfortunately passed away before I started writing the book. She shares a name with a woman who I've never met, but, you know, whose story I really hope will inspire my Eleanor one day.
Nathalia, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Nathalia Holt is a science writer and the author of a new book called Rocket Girls, The Women Who Propelled Us from Missiles to the Moon to Mars. And guess what? Hollywood is getting in on one part of this story. There's a movie called Hidden Figures about the African-American female mathematicians who worked at NASA. It's slated to come out early next year.